You're saying not only is type 1 diabetes not something you're born with, it's something we create through our unhealthy living, but you're saying that even though it's harder, it's still possible for somebody in type 1 diabetes to be completely cured and to be off the diabetes medicine, the insulin and so on, if they follow the guidelines, and there is a possibility this can happen. You've seen it.
Oh yes, I have seen it very, very clearly.
This is the Raw Life Health Show. Raw Life.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul Neeson with the Raw Life Health Show, and we have one of our favorite guests, Andrew Moritz, and he is going to be back talking about. Let you know he spoke. He speaks about so many topics of healing, but today one of the things he's going to talk about is something that's so common, and more people are contacting me about because it's such a diet-related issue, and that is diabetes. So, Andreas, for those of that people that haven't heard you, or even those that had, can you give yourself an introduction and give out your website, and then we'll talk about this topic.
Okay, I'm Andreas Moritz, and I'm 58 years old. I grew up in Germany in your post-war time, and I was going through a lot of different ailments, including rheumatoid arthritis and arrhythmia and severe anemia, major lymphatic congestion, and gastrointestinal distress. A lot of liver problems, which ended up as gallstone attacks. I had 40 of those. Frequent fainting that I never knew where I was going to pass out, such as in churches or at post offices or banks waiting in line. So it was a tough childhood, which taught me basically everything I know about the human physiology, the human body. How things work. I was very, very interested in figuring out how to tackle my issues from the root causes up, not the other way around, looking at the symptoms only and trying to just alleviate these symptoms, but really look at the root causes, eliminate the root causes, and then recover from the various ailments that I suffered from. And this helped me greatly in my work because I was really only interested all my life in the last 40 years of doing this, looking at what causes the various problems that people have. And my interest was just focused on that, never really on the symptoms themselves, which didn't fascinate me at all.
Well, you cover so many different topics, and I recommend everyone get your books. But tell us about this thing, diabetes. There's type 1 and there's type 2, and from my understanding, type 2 is 100% diet related, and type 1 definitely can be affected by diet. Can you clarify that and just talk about your research, because you have a wonderful book on the topic, and so many people continue to suffer from this. So I want to talk about exactly your research about it, and what you recommend people that have been told they have that, and also how people can avoid that.
Right. The type 1 diabetes obviously is a lot more rare, and it can start when you're very young. And what I found is that children who have heavy doses of vaccines, and it's more prevalent in North America than in other countries like in Iceland or Finland or Denmark, Norway. Because there's a lot of vaccinating going on here, so the children get bombarded with chemicals that overload the liver and the brain and nervous system and the pancreas. So once the liver is affected, the pancreas gets affected too. And so many things can happen, unpredictable things, because vaccines have really never been tested. For safety, and there are no long-term studies or comparative studies available because the CDC says for ethical reasons such studies should not be conducted using children that are not vaccinated as a placebo group. So the problem is that we don't really know how these chemicals affect us. Recently, a study came out that showed that the average child that is born in this country has 287 chemicals in the body. Some of them are carcinogenic. Now, the pancreas cannot really defend itself against these chemicals that the liver has not removed from the bloodstream. There's a direct connection between the pancreas and the liver. So the pancreas offloads its metabolic waste products and other toxins directly into the liver. If the liver bile ducts are clogged up, then that stuff is going to accumulate in the pancreas, and it can create suffocation of pancreatic cells, particularly those that are responsible for producing insulin. And the other issue is directly related to stones that pass from the liver or gallbladder into the common bile duct and end up pushing up into the pancreatic duct as they travel through the common bile duct up reverse going into the pancreatic duct. And once that happens, there are particular enzymes, there are pancreatic enzymes that are supposed to digest your food. When these pancreatic enzymes are not activated by combining with bile, which normally happens when there is no congestion either in the liver or common bile duct, then these pancreatic enzymes remain unactivated. And when they stay in that form and they are trapped, they haven't been released from the pancreas, then they start attacking, literally attacking the pancreatic cells and destroy them. And that changes the insulin producing capacity of the pancreas. And so that's where you find type 1 diabetes you're being a major cause from. So I often tell people look at anything that can cause congestion in your liver bile ducts. That's where my book The Amazing Liver and Gallbladder Flush comes very handy, because it gives you the way to decongest the liver and make sure that the common bile duct and the pancreatic duct are not congested so that this kind of illness cannot arise. So prevention in this case is primary. That's the most important thing, because once you have type 1 diabetes, it is a lot more difficult to correct it. Even though I have many times mentioned that I have seen people who had type 1 diabetes and don't have it anymore, but it takes a lot of patience and a good amount of cleansing of the liver and also changed diet and lifestyle. So one really has to be very, very careful in resurrecting basically the pancreatic functions that are related to insulin production. With type 2 diabetes, now there's one factor which I didn't mention, and there are some studies to show that type 1 diabetes can actually be caused by milk, cow's milk. I would suspect that pasteurized cow's milk is more indicated in causing the type 1 diabetes than whole cow's milk that hasn't been altered in any way. Once you alter cow's milk, it becomes very, very destructive in that it can create allergies. And once there is a severe allergic reaction, it can end up creating an autoimmune response similar to what I mentioned before, where particular enzymes in the pancreas start destroying its own cells. And so it is now clearly shown that cow's milk, and they didn't specify in the studies whether it was whole milk or whether it was pasteurized milk, But I would be, in any case, just to be on the safe side, avoid cow's milk, particularly in the Western Hemisphere. Many people are allergic to your particulates in the milk and the particular proteins in the milk, and also to sugars, lactates. And so I would be very, very cautious recommending children to drink cow's milk. That is something I've always recommended not to do. Also, there are studies to show it can easily cause the milk sugar can easily lead to type 2 diabetes when it's ingested during childhood. These are some things to remember for every parent to make sure that you don't develop that. Now, with type 2
Now,
diabetes,
before we get to type 2 diabetes, I just want to clarify this because people always tell me, and even I was told, that type 1 diabetes is something you're born with. It's not something you get, as opposed to type 2 is something you get later on. And you're saying not only is type 1 diabetes not something you're born with, it's something we create through our unhealthy living, but you're saying that even though it's harder, it's still possible for somebody in type 1 diabetes to be completely cured and to be off the diabetes medicine, the insulin and so on, if they follow the guidelines, then there is a possibility this can happen. You've seen it.
oh yes, I have seen it very, very clearly. And most people believe that, well, you're born with it, that means it must be genetic. So it's a genetic disease, but that's not true. Many children are born, they after 2 or 3 years, they have type 1 diabetes. Their parents had no type 1 diabetes. There are no gene factors that are responsible for creating that. And even if they were, it is now becoming more and more clear that genetic factors are only playing a very, very tiny or minor, if any, role in contributing or creating these particular illnesses. There are only 1% of all diseases are genetic diseases, and you are born with them. It's not that you have a genetic disease that you don't have for the first 2 or 3 years, and then suddenly you have that genetic disease. That doesn't make any sense because your genes don't work that way. Either you have a faulty gene, you have missing chromosomes or whatever, or you don't. You can't just make it up after a couple of years of living here. Now, the other factors that the environment changes gene behavior far more than genes change the production of proteins and the other substances that the body needs in order to function properly. So genes are controlled by their immediate environment. If there is severe congestion in the environment and the lymph drainage is inadequate, and the liver is unable to detoxify the blood properly, and the body accumulates toxins, then that changes the gene behavior. It can even lead to genetic mutations, which then can show up as genetic disease, but it's not the genes then that cause that particular illness. It's the illness that causes the gene changes.
Now, from a diet standpoint, we know there are many other factors besides diet that affect our health. But from a diet standpoint, do you think there's one diet that's best for everyone to avoid running into these problems with type 1 or type 2 diabetes? Or do you think it's based on the individual and based on many different circumstances?
Basically, every person is different from another. So we can never completely 100% say this particular food or substance is good or bad for everyone. Unless, of course, it's a known poison or toxin. There are certain foods on the planet that are solely made for animals and not for humans. So not everything that can be eaten should be eaten by human beings. But
This is the Raw Life Health Show. Raw Life, brighten up your life.